Yeah, I'm a deer hunter, how do you do? I got the deer hunting rapping tale for you. I'm so excited, it's my favorite time of year. I love to feast my bonds, chasing trophy deer. Wind was blowing 45, temp 30 below. I was freezing to death, then it started to snow. So I got down from the tree stand, start heading for the truck. And that's when I seen it there, the 30-point buck.
30-point buck!
30-point. The howitzer was in the shop. My stomach was tied into a monkey knot. Yeah, my only hope was Betty Lou. She was the one. A combination AK-57 Uzi Raider laser triple barrel double scoped heat-seeking shotgun. Dirty Harry, John Wayne, and G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe?
Yeah, that 30-point buck was only 10 feet away, y'all. Still, I couldn't seem to hit him, and he wouldn't run away. And after 20 minutes, when the smoke cleared, there were hunters on the ground in the world's biggest deer. Deer standing tall and proud. He looked at me and yawned, and then a flash of white. And there he was. Gone.
Yeah, baby, a little 30-point buck. And we're going to go right into story time. Everybody have a great weekend and a great, safe deer season.
Okay, boys and girls, it's story time with your Uncle Ray. This week's story is Sleepless in the Ozarks, a short story about deer hunting, family, and a little boy. Deep within the Missouri Ozarks, nestled against the hills, is an old homestead, home to generations of my family. Far up the holler near a spring-fed stream and hand-cleared pasture, steep, rugged Ozark ridges tower above a 150-year-old two-story farmhouse, log barn, and spring house. Long ago, on a clear, cold, late November night, my family gathers at the old farmhouse for our annual deer hunting camp. It's the night before deer season. With the aroma of fresh coffee, wood smoke, and kerosene in the air, seasoned hunters sitting around the kitchen table are telling stirring tales of phantom bucks and secret stand locations that always produce a buck. This annual kitchen table deer camp debate always continues late into the night. Planning for deer season, discussing guns, cartridges, and hunting tactics can be as exciting and fun as the actual hunt itself. Just outside the kitchen door, my brother Joe Jr. and I lay in the hallway floor, listening intently to the men discussing the upcoming morning's hunt. That is until Grandma finds our hiding place and scurries us off to bed. Reluctantly, we make our way to the stairway that leads to our bedroom. For two small boys, it's a scary climb up the unlighted, narrow, steep, spooky stairway, one that should never be traversed alone. Shivering, I quickly undress and jump into bed, pulling a mountain of heavy handmade quilts tight under my chin. Somehow, the cold night air makes its way through the newspaper-stuffed cracks running the length of the outside walls and around the windows. With soft moonlight shining through the ice-covered window panes, I watch a cloud of vapor with every breath float upward toward a rust-covered tin ceiling. The only heat in this ancient farmhouse is a native stone fireplace down in the front room. My bed is just about as far away from the fireplace as it is the two-holer outhouse in the backyard. A cold metal piss pot under my bed is yet another source of adventure and an unwelcome greeting if a serious nature call arrives during the night. The old four-poster bed is warm and comfortable, but I'm unable to find sleep. For a young boy in a hunting family, opening day of deer season is like Christmas morning and your birthday all rolled into one. Tossing and turning, I punch my goose feather pillow as I sink ever deeper in the warm feather bed. This year's deer season is extra special because for the first time, I will take stand on my very own. I'm hunting with my dad's personal gun, his Browning 12-gauge. I'll load the gun with Grandpa's green paper deer slugs, well-worn Remington deer slugs with the print long gone from carrying the shells in my pockets for weeks. Dad's 1952 Browning 12-gauge has provided meat for our family table for years, and just the thought of that maybe, now as a real hunter, I might possibly be the one to provide my family's Christmas dinner, it is just too much to even imagine. Finally, deep within the mountain of warm quilts, I drift off into a dream world, my mind racing with big whitetail bucks falling time and time again to my gun. And then I see him, the biggest buck of them all, a dark gray ghost, almost coal black, and bigger than Grandpa's prized bull. The buck's horn spread wide across his massive head, as wide as an axe handle, and the forearm-thick mane beams turn upward toward the sky with uncountable points. I take careful aim as the buck charges. I'm now standing over majestic monster buck, my foot propped up on his neck, my grandpa, dad, brothers, cousins, and uncles all singing my praises as the greatest deer hunter in the whole wide world. With a buck that overfills the bed of a 49 Chevy pickup truck, I'm standing proud as I tell and retell my story, how I outsmarted the monster buck of all times. While basking in the praise of family and friends, the women folk excitedly prepare a huge meal to celebrate my kill and ultimate success of taking the largest buck ever from the hills. Word travels swiftly through the valley as friends, neighbors, and strangers travel from miles around to see the world's biggest buck. Suddenly, the crowd separates. Little skinny, knock-kneed Ruthie from grade school is running toward me with her missing tooth smile and skinny, freckled arms opened wide. Just as Ruthie reaches me and pulls me in her arms, my dad shakes me for the second time. I open my eyes to the glow of a kerosene lamp. Flashing a big smile, Dad says, "It's time to go hunting. Breakfast is ready." Words alone cannot express the feeling of a 9-year-old boy on his first deer hunt alone. Sitting at the base of an old oak tree, my dad's gun across my lap, as I eagerly watch the hollow below for any sign of the buck from my dreams. Me and my brother have hunted with my dad since big enough to walk. Dad would carry the gun as we followed him through the hills and sat next to him while he watched for deer. My dad would never complain if we got cold. He would just take us someplace to get warm, even if it meant leaving the woods. I remember one of our earlier hunts when we got cold. Dad built a big fire and poured us cups of hot chocolate from his old dented thermos bottle. My brother and I are very fortunate for having a dad that cared so much about his kids, he would give up so much of his time to take them hunting. Little did I realize at the time, but while hunting with my dad, he was preparing us for life. He encouraged hunting ethics and safety. He taught us to respect firearms and the importance of family values. He instilled the social skills needed to work with and to get along with others. He passed on a deep respect and appreciation for the land and all of God's wild creatures, a respect that remains deep within my spirit yet today. In this modern day world of trophy deer hunting, hunter success seems only to be measured by inches and how many bucks one has in the record books. Today's hunters don't ask, "Did you get a deer? Did you have a good deer hunt?" All you hear is, "What will he score? How many inches?" Personally, the number of kills, the size of an animal, or total inches of horn is not an accurate measurement of my deer hunting experience or success. For me, hunting is much more than killing a trophy animal. It's the overall experience, great food and fellowship, and the quality time with family and friends. My trophies from almost 50 years of deer hunting cannot be measured in inches. My records are only entered in the record book of life. My deer hunting accomplishments, my awards, are my memories from all my deer hunting seasons. But the greatest trophy of all, and my greatest deer hunting memory, is from a cold November night back in 1961, as an excited little boy on a sleepless night in the Ozarks, upstairs in an old farmhouse, nervously awaiting the opening morning of deer season. And that's story time this week with your Uncle Ray.
Say bye, Vogelbacher.
Bye, Vogelbacher.
Say goodbye, Matty G. Goodbye.
Thanks for joining us for Eyes on the Outdoors National Radio Show. Share the outdoors with others and always be a positive role model for hunting, gun ownership, and conservation. We'll see you next time around the campfire. Be safe out there in the woods and on the water. Say goodbye, Peanut.
The flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land.